This is the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day, featuring Father Benoit Davis of St. Matthew Catholic Church of Charlotte.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it's my pleasure and privilege to introduce Father Michael to you. Father Michael is a Byzantine Catholic priest, and he is currently working as the pastor of the Proto-Cathedral of St. Mary in Sherman Oaks, California. And he is also the co-host of the podcast, What God Is Not. And he's also the former host of the podcast, Catholic Stuff You Should Know. So he's a dynamic speaker, and we have invited him to give us the parish mission this year for St. Matthew's. Father Michael, hearty welcome to St. Matthew's.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the second reading, we hear Paul talking about weakness. Paul was a very strong man, of course, in many ways, very persuasive in his letters. He started many, many different churches throughout the world. But St. Paul talks in a similar way about a thorn in the flesh. You guys know this. A thorn in the flesh, something that bugged him, irritated him, that caused him pain. And he says that three times he asked our Lord to remove this thorn, and our Lord didn't. There's a lot of speculation by many different theologians, fathers, about what that thorn in the flesh may have been. Some say migraines, some say some addictive sin. But the one I like best, and I'm not saying this is correct, but the one I like best is that he had a stutter. Because St. Paul does say that when he wrote letters, and these letters were read in the various churches that he started, the people were very moved. And so when he arrived in person, they expected a very strong, persuasive man that preached with great authority. And he says, "When I got there, some mocked me. Some made fun of me, were not persuaded. Is this the same man that wrote the letters?" So it may have been some sort of speech impediment. I love this idea because Paul had so much faith. I can imagine his prayer when he asked three times. He said, "Lord, I know you can do this. I know you can take it away. Like, why not? You've called me to be a preacher, to form churches. I know you can take away the stutter. I know you can. You're God. Why not? What negative consequences can come from me being a more eloquent speaker? I don't see any." You guys ever been there? Where you're like, "Lord, I know you can take this away. I know you can. Why not? I don't understand, Lord. I don't understand." I can imagine his frustration. And the only answer God gave him was, "My power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness." So what does that look like? I do a lot of preaching to the homeless, to the poor, to those who are disenfranchised, and they get it. They get it. Their weakness they wear on their sleeve. They look like their weakness. They sound like their weakness. They smell like their weakness. This is a very obvious thing to many, so it's a harder thing to preach in a suburban parish where we're basically in control of our lives. And we abhor weakness in many ways. So let me tell you a couple of stories about how I've seen people lead with weakness and how it's been very profitable. Those who are weak and vulnerable become a light of the world. They become the salt of the earth. When I was in seminary, I would work. I'd wait tables during the breaks, and then I'd go to seminary and have enough money from waiting tables that I could afford certain things, to go out with my friends every once in a while, have a cell phone, things like that. And there was one semester I came home and I had my appendix out, had surgery, and I couldn't work. And so I came back to seminary with no money. And so among the other things I had to drop was my cell phone. And I had to tell my friends, you know, don't have a cell phone now, call the landline. And I told all my friends, I went to my homeless friends I saw once a week. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna have a cell phone, so please call the landline. Just much harder to interact. And I remembered that one of my homeless friends one time had walked up at a Starbucks, a random Starbucks, and laid my phone number on a piece of paper in front of the barista and said, I'm gonna go jump off the 10th Street Bridge. And the barista didn't know who I was, just called the number and said, someone put this homeless guy put a piece of paper with your number in front of me and said he's gonna go jump off the 10th Street Bridge. So I jumped in my car, went, found this guy, thank God. It was a cry for help, a beautiful cry for help. So when I lost my cell phone, I was very worried. And so I got back and I told my homeless friends, just call the landline, I'll get a message. The next Thursday, it was on Thursdays I would do this. I went downtown Thursday and this one homeless guy walks up, three or four other homeless behind him, and he hands me $300 in ones. $300. They had begged all week and they gave that money to me so that I could have a cell phone. It was beautiful. I got my cell phone and I had it all semester. And I thought, here you are serving the poor. You know what it's like to be poor. And you're leading with your own weakness. Nobody else in my life did that. Nobody else, except the homeless. It was beautiful. Similar story. If we're going to go lead with our weakness, and when we are sent out by Christ, when we are sent, we become apostles. That's what apostle means. Apostolos in Greek means sent. God sends the weak. Blessed are the poor. He sends the weak out into the world. A few verses before the second reading today, Paul looks out of the says in the letter, not many of you are well born. That could be insulting, but it's not to him. It's you were born weak. Use that. Use that. Become a light to the world and a salt of the earth in your weakness. And so we are sent. In the Byzantine Catholic Church, which I belong, we have terms for two women, and we call them the apostle to the apostles. These women were sent to the apostles. The first one, very obviously, is Mary Magdalene, who saw Christ's resurrection and was sent to the apostles to preach the resurrection to them. The second one we have is what I named my nonprofit after, the woman at the well. The ancient name for her is Photina. You guys may have learned that from The Chosen. They didn't make it up. It's an ancient, ancient name for this woman. And if you remember the story, Christ goes and finds her at a well. Anybody who knows the Old Testament knows what's gonna happen next. He finds her at a well in the middle of the day, at the hottest part of the day. She's there alone. No husband's with her, but you should always bring a husband to a well. I'll get to that in a moment. No husband with her. And she goes to the well when nobody else is there. We find out later why. She's had five husbands, probably the object of ridicule and gossip. So she has found the time to go when no one else is there, to avoid everybody else in that town. And Christ encounters her. He tells her that she's had five husbands. This is why she calls him a prophet. He knows something about her. And what does she do? She finds this out. Now, how does Jesus say it? He says, you've had five husbands and the one you're with now is not your husband. Some scholars say Jesus was talking about himself. Literally, the one you are with right now is not your husband. Some have called her the first nun because Christ invited her into a nuptial marriage-like relationship with him. He found the most broken woman and he said, will you marry me? Will you dedicate your entire life to me? Not marriage literally, of course, but like nuns married to Christ. What does she do? She goes into the town. Goes in the town and she looks up and she tells them, this man told me everything I ever did. Really? did he? He said, you've had five husbands. One interpretation of this is she said she identified herself with her sin. He told me everything about myself. He pointed out all my sin. The way I see myself, he pointed out. But he gave me living water. You know what this sounds like to me? It sounds like Jesus in his resurrected body. He walks through that door after the resurrection. The first thing he does is show them his hands and his side and his feet. He shows them his wounds. I think this is how it's going to be. We're going to get to heaven, and Paul's going to walk in there, and he's going to go, look at these thorns. Just like Jesus, here's my wounds. Here's the result of sin, your sin. And Paul's going to go, here's the result of my sin. Here's my weakness. Whatever these thorns are, we're going to boast of those things. Whatever drags us down, whatever we're ashamed of in this life, whatever was our struggle, whatever was our cross, will become something to boast about once we're healed of them, forgiven of them, and we get our resurrected bodies. And this woman brought the entire town to Christ. That's why we call her the apostle of the apostles. The apostles brought out food. She brought out the entire town. And she brought out the entire town because of her weakness. She ran towards the people she was avoiding them forever. And she runs to the people that she was avoiding, says, come, he told me everything I ever did, come meet this man, and they do. She's an amazing evangelist that leads with her weakness. It's incredible. One final story. You heard of Catherine Daugherty. Catherine Daugherty passed away just a few years ago. She was a Russian woman who started a ministry that was both Byzantine and Roman Catholic up in Canada. And she has these amazing stories. But my favorite story about her was she would go from town to town in Canada, and she would meet with every single priest she could. And she got to one parish in Canada, and she went to the church and said, you know, I like to meet with Father. And they kind of awkwardly said, oh, he's not here. She said, okay, well, where is he? And they didn't want to say, so they sent her to the rectory. At the rectory, there was the housekeeper that said, oh, he's not here. He doesn't stay here nights. And they said, what? And she finally got out of her that he was at a brothel. And so she went and found these brothels, and she walked in, and she went and knocked on the front door. Very strong woman. And she goes in and she says, I'm looking for Father whoever. And they look really awkward. And they say, okay. And she finds the room, knocks on the door, walks in there, sees him in bed with a prostitute. And she kneels down by the side of the bed and goes, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Yeah. She went to confession to him. And she reminded him that he was a priest, which he obviously needed reminded of. But she led with her vulnerability. She led with her sin. She didn't condemn him. She reminded him of what he should have been doing through her own weakness. This, brothers and sisters, is what it can look like to lead with our vulnerability and lead with our weakness. And it's hard. People take advantage of that. People mock us for that. They betray us for our weakness. But that means that we're strong, and we have to lead with that. So I would encourage you, one way to do that is in your evangelization. I'll go into this much more this week, but be very willing to say, I don't know, to the people that ask you about the truth. We carry the truth in us, in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Absolutely. But it's so beautiful when someone who has the truth is able to say to those around them, I don't know. The world rarely gets that from people, from Christians. One of the greatest things we can do to lead with. So Father asked me to introduce what's happening this week. I'll be giving 3 talks Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Also a talk on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. for those who can't come at night. The one on Tuesday will summarize my other 3 talks briefly. But I'll be talking about prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, the 3 pillars of Lent. And I'll be tying that into marriage, because our Byzantine marriage ritual is quite different than the Roman one with you've probably seen. Instead of vows, you don't even have vows. In our marriage ritual, the couple gets crowned. And these crowns are crowns of martyrdom. You've now died to yourself to live for your spouse. What we normally only receive when we become martyrs in heaven. But I'm gonna tie in our marriage ritual according to prayer and fasting and almsgiving, one each night. I'm also gonna tie those 3 into my experiences of evangelization, about going out and doing evangelization. What my heart is in evangelization in Denver, in Pittsburgh, and in Los Angeles now. And I would encourage you, if you can come again, missions are old-fashioned missions when someone comes from across the world, Los Angeles. And then they preach to the people in a very foreign place, namely suburban Charlotte. And I'll be talking about those three things and how they're tied into those, again, prayer and fasting and almsgiving, to hopefully make this Lent a little bit different, maybe even better than the previous one. So please join me if you can. Glory to Jesus Christ.
This has been the Carolina Catholic Radio Homily of the Day on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, 1270 AM, also streaming at carolinacatholicmedia.org and on the Carolina Catholic Media app.